This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes.
Thank you for this opportunity to present some of my work. I'm going to talk about archaic introgression and what we've learned about introgression from these archaic hominins in the history of non-Africans and more recent work that talks about archaic introgression in African populations. So analyses of genetic data have shown the broad outlines of the evolution of modern humans. We know that modern humans evolved in Africa, and then there was this out-of-Africa exodus. What has happened in the last 10 years is this revolution in ancient DNA has given us access to genome sequences from two archaic hominins: Neanderthals and their sister species, the Denisovans. And by comparing these genome sequences to modern human genomes, we are learning about the interactions between archaic and modern human populations. For example, we now know that all non-Africans today trace a small proportion of their genetic ancestry to the Neanderthals. On the other hand, Oceanian populations, in addition to their Neanderthal ancestry, also trace some ancestry to the Denisovans. Now, because these introgression events introduced a large number of mutations within a short span of time into the human gene pool, there has been the hypothesis that these introgression events could have had a major impact on human biology. So this has motivated a number of efforts to better understand and connect these introgression events to impact on specific traits. So here's an example of an early effort that I was involved in, where we were looking for genetic variants that predispose Mexican Americans to type 2 diabetes. And this analysis revealed a novel genetic variant. And what we found was this variant had a unique geographic distribution where the risk variant was essentially absent in Africa. It was present at low frequencies outside of Africa, but it was particularly present at higher frequencies in most of the Americas. And when we compared the mutations that were present on this genetic variant to the Neanderthal genome, we found that this was likely to have introgressed into the modern human gene pool from the Neanderthal introgression event. So there have been several such other notable examples of specific introgressed variants that have affected biology. For example, there's been an introgression that has been documented in the STAT2 gene, which is particularly important in immune-related function. Another extremely exciting discovery was the EPAS1 gene. So this is a gene where specific mutations that have been found in Tibetans have been shown to be important in adapting to higher altitude living. And a recent analysis showed that this mutation that allows or contributes to higher altitude adaptation is introgressed from the Denisovan population. So to better understand the contribution of introgressed DNA to specific biological phenotypes, we'd like to go from understanding which genes might be introgressed to a more genome-wide assessment. So this has motivated efforts to build maps of introgressed DNA. What does that mean? So if you look at a population that is descended from an introgression between a modern human and an archaic, the genome of this population has a mosaic structure where there are parts of the genome that are inherited from the archaic population and others that are inherited from the modern human population. And because of the way recombination chops up the haplotypes that are passed down from one generation to the other, if you look at these genome sequences, the length of these introgressed segments are characteristic of the time before which the introgression occurred. So how do we go about building maps of archaic DNA? So we use statistical models which compare the genome sequence that we are interested in to an archaic genome as well as to a modern human genome. And by comparing the genetic variation that is shared between the test genome the archaic genome and the modern human genome, we can essentially build these maps that tell us what regions of this test genome trace their ancestry to the archaic population. So using these maps, we can begin to understand at a very fine scale how archaic ancestry is distributed, both across populations and across the genome. For example, we looked at a very diverse set of modern human individuals today, and we built maps of Neanderthal DNA in these populations. And what we show is we recover the signal where there is an enrichment of Neanderthal DNA in populations residing outside of Africa. There is interesting variation within these populations, and I think Josh Akey's talk will touch upon the factors behind this variation. We can also build maps for Denisovan DNA, and we see an enrichment of Denisovan introgression in Oceanian populations, but we also see populations in East Asia which have small amounts of Denisovan introgressed material. Beyond looking genome-wide across populations, we can ask, how does introgressed DNA vary along the genomes? And what we can see is that there is a wide variation in how much introgressed material a person carries as we move along their chromosomes. For example, there are places in the genome where there is an enrichment of introgressed DNA. In other words, where a lot of people present today carry introgressed DNA variants. For example, EPAS1 was the example that we started out with, has a high proportion of introgressed variants when we look at Tibetan populations. And these are variants introgressed from the Denisovan lineage. Here's another example. So this is a gene that's a particular outlier. It lies in this locus called the basonuclein gene, a gene that is known to be involved in skin-related function. And at this gene, present-day Europeans, about half of them carry the Neanderthal variant, compared to about 50,000 years ago, when only about 2% of them carried the Neanderthal sequence. So we can try to figure out what might have resulted in an increase in the Neanderthal frequency at this gene, likely because this had some adaptive benefit. However, it's not the case that all introgressed Neanderthal variants are necessarily adaptive. Indeed, we think that genome-wide, most introgressed Neanderthal or Denisovan DNA is deleterious. For example, there are large regions of the genome, which we call deserts of archaic ancestry, where no present-day human carries either Neanderthal or Denisovan DNA. So these are particularly interesting because these are places in the genome which seem to be resistant to introgression, and potentially they harbor mutations that are responsible for the modern human phenotype. So here is one particularly interesting example of a desert. This is a desert which is resistant to both Neanderthal and Denisovan introgression, and it overlaps a gene called FOXP2. So FOXP2 is this famous gene that has been shown to be involved and important in speech and language. So now moving beyond non-Africans, we'd like to switch our attention to introgression in Africa. So the reason why our understanding of introgression outside of Africa has been so advanced is because of the availability of whole genome sequences from archaic populations like the Neanderthals and the Denisovans. But once we turn our attention to Africa, the situation becomes a lot less clear. The reason is we don't have ancient DNA from archaic hominin groups. It would be wonderful to have them, but the technology hasn't yet been successful in extracting ancient DNA. So what we decided to do was to look for signals of introgression in Africa without needing access to ancient archaic hominin genomes. So to do this, we adapted two complementary approaches. So one is an approach that looks at genome-wide data, and it counts up the different classes of mutations that a person carries along their genomes. And it turns out that these classes of mutations are indicative or characteristic of the history of archaic introgression. The second line of evidence involves building these maps, but doing so without recourse to an archaic reference genome. So let's talk about the first line of evidence. So the statistical summary of the data we're going to be looking at is something called the site frequency spectrum. In a brief way, the way to think of the site frequency spectrum is we are looking at positions along a person's genome, and we are counting up what kinds of mutations occur at a given position. So here we have genomes from Africa, we have the Neanderthal genome, and we have the genome from a chimpanzee. We're going to focus on those positions where there's a difference in the state carried by the Neanderthal and the chimpanzee. And at those positions, we're going to see what count of African genomes carry a state that matches the Neanderthal. So for example, at this position, the Neanderthal does not match the chimpanzee. And when you look at the Africans, they have two copies of the mutation that matches the Neanderthal. When you look at this position, the Neanderthal again does not match the chimpanzee, and the Africans carry three copies of the mutation that matches the Neanderthal. So we go along this genome and tabulate this statistical summary, which we call the conditional site frequency spectrum. Now, why do we do this? It turns out that there is some population genetic theory that tells us what we should expect to see in this statistical summary of the data. For example, if Africans and Neanderthals split and never interbred, then this summary of the data is uniformly distributed across all mutational classes. So now what do we see in the data? When we look at the West African population, the Yoruba, the conditional site frequency spectrum, which here is the blue dots, are far from uniform. They have this U-shaped pattern. We looked at other West African populations, and we find the same characteristic U-shaped pattern. So in other words, at least a simple model where Africans and Neanderthals split and went their own way does not fit the data. We then asked, could this be explained by other models of human history? For example, we have a fairly good understanding of the relationship between Africans and archaic populations, and could this potentially explain? And we find that, again, current models of human history do not offer a good enough fit to the data that we observe. So then we explored additional models that are more complicated, which involve different levels of introgression into the African population. For example, we asked whether there was structure within Africa. This is quite possible, given all the evidence about deep structure within different African populations. Is it possible that there was introgression from a Neanderthal-related population into the Africans? Or is it possible that there was a super archaic population that introgressed into Africa? And for each of these models, we try to figure out which of them best explains our signal. And the model that does explain the signal of the conditional site frequency spectrum is one where there was introgression into the African population from a super archaic population that split off prior to the split between Neanderthals and modern humans. So this is neither Neanderthal or Denisovan, and so we term this a ghost archaic population. And the key thing to remember here is this is actually quite deeply diverged, farther more than the Neanderthals and the Denisovans compared to the modern humans. Now we can be more quantitative about this analysis, and we can try to figure out when did this population split off, when did it come back and interbreed, and what proportion of archaic ancestry is present in Africans today. And so we did further analyses, and these are estimates with quite wide uncertainties. But what we estimate is a date of about 600,000 years for the split time and an interbreeding time of around 43,000 years. So this is still fairly recent interbreeding event in the history of the African population. Further, we estimate a fairly substantial contribution of this archaic ghost lineage of about 11%. So compared to the Neanderthal and the Denisovan introgression event, which are of the order of a couple of percent. So we try to have a complementary line of evidence to convince ourselves that this was plausible. And to do this, we went back and tried to extract segments of DNA in the African population that could potentially arise from this ghost archaic. So to do this, we had to have a statistical model which does not require an archaic population because we don't have this reference genome. So we validated this model, we showed that it works under different settings, and then we applied it to the West African Yoruba, and we got these segments of archaic DNA, which we went back and asked, is this closely related to one of the genomes that we have sequence data from? So we compared the introgressed DNA segments in Africa to hunter-gatherer genomes, genomes from pygmy populations. So these are populations which have been shown to have complex interactions with the West African populations that we've analyzed. And finally, to known archaic genomes like Neanderthals and Denisovans. And so what we're showing here is a measure of divergence. So on the left, you're closely related. On the right, you're farther related. And what we find are that these archaic segments, compared to other non-archaic segments, are not particularly closely related to any of these populations that we have genomes from. So what is this population? We don't know. And so this is one of the questions that we'd like to be able to answer going forward. So just to summarize, there is clear evidence that there is archaic introgression within and outside Africa. And we have an increasing complexity in the picture of interactions between modern humans and archaics. So John Hawkes also talked about this preprint that came out last week from Alan Rogers' group, which showed that there are additional archaic introgression events in human history. And so a big question for us is to have a holistic picture which puts together these different introgression events, asks whether some of these are coming from the same population or are these distinct archaic groups. This is a challenging task, and to be able to do this, we need to analyze diverse modern and ancient genomes from Africa. We don't have ancient archaic genomes, but we do have ancient genomes from other modern human populations. And we need to do this in the context of these more realistic models of history, which take into account deep introgression events. And finally, the statistical models that we've talked about are making certain assumptions, which are fairly simplistic, and those need to be extended to handle this complexity. All right. With that, I'd like to acknowledge my student, Arun, who's done a lot of this work on ghost archaic introgression and funding, and I'd be happy to take questions.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.